Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And before we get started this morning talking about the canyon, I wanted to let you know that it is summer once again, and that means it's time for KX93.5 Radio Camp. So you can get, or your child can get, real broadcast experience on the radio with the KX crew. They can learn how to write, record, produce, and edit like a professional DJ like me. And the camp officially starts July 9th and goes through the 13th. That's the first session. And the second session is July 23rd through the 27th. And then we have an advanced 200 series camp running July 30th through August 3rd. Each week is $195, and ages 12 to 8 are welcome. 12 to 18 are welcome. It's Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And this wonderful resource is provided or sponsored by Cox Communications. Okay, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. Today we are going to be talking about wilderness interface, and our lovely canyon. All right, we'll be right back. This is KX93.5.
Never outgrow. Georgia know?
Well, well, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show today. There's me. Let's see. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live on Sunday mornings from 9 to 10. And today I am happy to have as my guest, Hallie Jones of the Laguna Canyon Foundation. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you this morning?
I'm swell, thanks. How about you?
I am doing well. It's a beautiful day out.
All right. Are your kids going to starve to death?
My kids are not going to starve to death. There are bagels in the freezer. I think they're capable of working the toaster. They should be just fine on this Sunday morning.
Well, hopefully they're listening because then they'll get the cue.
I can guarantee you that they're not.
Okay, then we can talk about them more.
Exactly.
All right. So, you've been on before. We've talked about the canyon. We've talked about saving the canyon. But why don't you just give us you have not been on Sundays. So since this is a new audience, so to speak, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Canyon Foundation and what you guys are about?
Sure. So we've been around for a while now. We were founded in 1990. So 23? Is that 23? 20? Yeah.
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 Something like
no,
that.
28. 20,
right.
Whatever.
Yes.
A long time. Let's start with that.
Let's start with a math quiz.
Exactly. Math is hard. We were founded with really one specific mission, and that was to acquire open space. So we were the organization that sat down with the Irvine Company and negotiated the purchase of the original parcels that would end up making our Laguna Canyon open space.
Okay. And did you personally supply the money to buy the spaces?
We didn't. There was a combination of sources of funding. So there was state funding that came through different propositions. But most importantly, the city of Laguna Beach voted to tax itself. There was a bond measure, a 20-year bond, that was passed specifically to acquire open space. So without that vote of the people, this open space wouldn't be here. It was, I think it passed by like 80% or something. It was an incredibly high margin.
Wow. And so what do you think drove people to want to tax themselves for open space?
That's a really good question. I think people started to understand what the importance of this open space was for our community. So it not only serves as a place for us to kind of get out into nature, to recreate, to clear our heads, those sorts of things.
Right.
But it also is an incredible buffer. And as you've seen Orange County get bigger and bigger and more and more dense.
Sure.
Having that buffer that protects Laguna from development of that high scale, right. I think really was driving that force. So there was the March to Save Laguna Canyon. The community really came together and decided that they didn't want to see golf courses and shopping centers and luxury homes built right up to the border of the city.
Right. Okay, and so now, though, we're going to fast forward and talk about an event that occurred very recently. We had that big fire. A number of homes were evacuated. Fortunately, it didn't turn out to be a mess, but it is actually somewhere near the 25th anniversary of the big fires that we had in
1993.
And that was, horrible. We lost a lot of homes. I guess fortunately no lives were lost, but still we are exposed to that risk.
Absolutely. And it's one of the risks that we all take on when we live near wildlands. Certainly wildfire is a risk to homes. It's a risk to people. And it's a risk to the habitat. I mean,
right.
If you go out there now and look at the damage that fire caused, fire is a natural part of the ecosystem, so that habitat will come back.
Okay.
But it's pretty stark right now.
And so let's talk about that a little bit, the natural part of the ecosystem. So fire is...
Absolutely. I mean, wildfire is a natural occurrence. So certainly for some of the species that we have out there, mm-hmm. that fire cycle is important. It clears out dead brush, things like that,
right.
and allows for a specific species that are fire-dependent to germinate. So it's a really interesting natural cycle.
So now that's a concept, fire-dependent.
Absolutely. There are certain flowers and things like that that need that scarification from a wildfire to actually germinate. Those seeds need that. So we'll see interesting species. They're called fire followers. We'll see some interesting species out there this year, assuming that we get some rain. Now, I do want to say it's a risk we all take living in this beautiful place. Mm-hmm. We are definitely a fire-prone area.
Right.
And I was so impressed in that fire with the emergency responders and the way that those homes were evacuated. I know it was inconvenient for so many people, but really protecting life and protecting property is so critical. As we've seen, this has been such a horrible fire year throughout the rest of the state. So
right.
We've seen what can happen when things go wrong. And I was just incredibly impressed by our city and the way that was handled.
Right. And I think, obviously we were a little bit fortunate in the timing of the fire because it wasn't a hot day and it wasn't windy.
And also, there weren't fires burning throughout the rest of the state. So that's what happened, I believe, in 1993, is that there were fires burning across
sure.
the state. So there weren't those air tanker resources that could come in.
Right.
And really
and there were fires all over Orange County at that point.
Absolutely.
We were like number six or something like that, and the resources were deployed.
Absolutely. I remember it well.
And yeah, I guess they were able to, we were really the only game in town or in Southern California at the time, and so they were flying out of Hemet or somewhere like that, dropping retardant and stuff like that.
Absolutely, dropping fire retardant. We had a lot of crews on the ground, and they were able to not have to worry about people because the homes had been evacuated
right.
and really just concentrate on the fire.
Could get to business. So now for you guys and your stewardship of the open space, what does post-fire mean? What do you guys, what does it change for you?
So interestingly enough, in an ideal world, which I know you and I both wish we lived
we
in.
We both populate. This.
Exactly. What would happen is nothing. We would be hands-off. We'd get some nice rain starting in the fall, and we'd have a really interesting and probably quite beautiful emergence of native species next spring. Now, unfortunately, we don't live in an ideal world. So there's a couple things that we need to be looking out for. We have really dedicated volunteers for Laguna Canyon Foundation. I think we have like 150 very active volunteers. And those people are actually out in the parks right now helping the rangers by patrolling outside the burn area and making sure that people don't go where they're supposed to go. It's one of the biggest risks that the actual land is facing. You have sort of a crust that forms on the earth after a fire.
Right.
And when people start walking on that and breaking it up, you're going to have erosion. You're going to have species being disturbed more. Okay. So staying out of the burn area, staying out of where you're not supposed to be. There are certain trails that are still closed. There are certain trails that are still open. So just following the rules and making sure you're staying where you're supposed to stay is the biggest thing that we can do. And our volunteers are helping support the rangers with education and things like that to make sure that happens. The second thing that I'm a little bit concerned about are invasive opportunistic species. So if you have an area that burns the native plants out, and then you have like an invasive grass or something that comes in,
right,
it can take over pretty quickly. So we'll be keeping a really close eye on the burn area, seeing how things are coming back, and working with OC Parks to implement maybe some selective restoration. Interestingly, the impacts of fighting the fire are pretty great as well. So there are fire breaks,
yes,
so dozer scars and things like that, that we'll want to go back in and look at and maybe do some selective restoration on those scars as well, just getting some plants in the ground, seeding selectively, and making sure that the park is given the best opportunity that it can to regenerate.
And about, well, how long generally does it take for the land to recover?
Well, honestly, Ernest, I mean, it is changing out there every single day. So every year, every season,
like
things
a kid
look
or something,
different.
Just they just never the same one as left in the
morning. I would use a different analogy. I would definitely use a different analogy.
I know I'm in mom mode.
Absolutely, we're talking bagels and toasters on Sunday mornings. I get it. You know, when you're on the beach, right? Every day that you're at the beach, the sand is different. The rocks are different.
Okay.
Because of the shifting tides.
Right.
And you see the same thing in the wilderness parks. It just happens on a slower scale.
Right. But it's still alive.
It's alive and it's evolving and it's changing and plants are growing and plants are dying and things are getting eaten and things are being born. And it's an evolving landscape. So I think what we're going to see is within the next year, you're going to have a harder time identifying what burned and what didn't because
okay,
things are going to be growing.
Okay.
But it probably is going to take a few years before you really see
it's completely gone and you wouldn't even know the boundaries.
Even in a few years, you're going to be able to identify the boundaries just by species and plant maturity.
Okay.
But in a few years, you're going to know that this area has grown back.
Wow. All right, we're going to take a break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. And today my guest is Hallie Jones of the Laguna Canyon Foundation. And we will be back with more of Canyon Talk when these songs are over. On KX93.5.
Don't you cry now, don't go drowning in your tears. Haven't you learned anything after all these years? All God's little children are beautiful and pure. You're as good as all of them, of this you can be sure. And we are just the same underneath the shadows of the sun. And we are just the same, no more, no less than anyone. And all the people of this lonely world have a peace. piece of pain inside. So don't go thinking you're the only one. Whoever broke right down and cried. That's when the rain comes down. That's when this is for the vacant souls. This is for the hopeless losers. And this is for the helpless fools. The burnout and the useless. And the lonely and the weak. And the lost and the degraded.
calling out on the shoreline. is the greatest suffering of all, is a lonely heart without a cause. Who will cure a lonely heart?
Okay, we're back. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And before we get back to Hallie Jones and our Canyon chat, I have a little community info for you. So let's see. It is currently around 65 degrees, kind of cloudy, but I think it's going to burn off. Traffic is moving, looks like, pretty well right now. No major incidents to report, nothing on Nixol, no SIG alerts to speak of. Today, the surf height is 1 to 2 feet, so watch those ankles. and the ocean is a toasty 70 to 72. Next high tide is coming up at 12:45, and I guess the big news is that, you know, it's summer. So you can expect summer conditions in many ways. And also festival season has begun. And so we're in it to win it, I guess. All right. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. Today, my guest is Hallie Jones of the Canyon Foundation. So what else is going on in the canyon?
Oh, gosh. There's always interesting things happening in the canyon.
I think, you know, people have an idea of something. And they say, oh, let's do it in the canyon.
Absolutely.
It won't impact me.
It won't impact the rest of town. So the canyon is obviously really close to my heart. Not only do I spend my professional days protecting it, but I also grew up in the canyon.
Okay.
So I grew up on a street called Castle Rock Road. I grew up riding horses in the open space. So I have a really personal connection with this land. And one of the interesting and challenging things about my job is separating what I personally remember about the canyon and what I want for the canyon versus what Laguna Canyon Foundation's position is. And certainly things change. And recognizing that evolution,
right?
I always think it's important to focus on implementing positive change rather than resisting change. And, you know, keeping things the way that it always has been.
Right. Ossified, if you will.
Right. Absolutely. So a couple things that are kind of on our minds right now. And I'll start with the easier one first, which is overuse. We're seeing so many people out in the wilderness parks right now.
What kind of numbers are we looking at these days?
You know, our latest official data is saying that we're looking at about 500,000 people a year in Laguna Coast Wilderness and Aliso and Wood Canyon. So those are the two parks if you're driving on Laguna Canyon
what?
Road.
500,000.
Now, that's what the numbers are showing based on a tracking system that is being updated.
Okay.
So I believe once that system's updated, we're going to be looking at closer to 1 million people in Laguna Coast and in Aliso and Wood each year.
Wow.
So those are the two parks if you're driving out the canyon. Laguna Coast is on the left. Aliso and Wood is on the right. So
okay.
We work very closely in both those.
Okay.
Those two parks together make up what we consider to be Laguna Canyon.
Okay.
So when you have that many people in the parks, you have people on mountain bikes going quickly. You
yes.
have people hiking with their earbuds in and taking up an entire trail. So you end up with inevitable user conflicts. And that is something that is a real shame. I think that there's a number of solutions we need to be looking at. But first and foremost...
Now, these conflicts come down to people taking out their earbuds and talking to one another?
Unfortunately, that's not always the way things go. So we do have... actual conflicts where people crash into each other.
Ooh.
We also have
simply
altercations on the trail. We have situations where, And I'll give you an example. I'm hiking down Westridge Trail with my dog. A mountain biker comes by, startles me. I'm not paying attention to my surroundings. I jump out of the way. I get scared. I yell at him. He yells back at me for being in the middle of the trail. I'm saying he could very well be a she as well. So,
but the likelihood is, you know who you are out there.
You do know who you are out there, absolutely. So I really think the first solution we need to all be looking at, and it requires a great amount of personal responsibility, which sometimes I feel is lacking in today's day and age, just being polite. And I notice it in myself. You know, when I'm driving around town, I might drive one way, but let me tell you, when I'm doing school drop-off, when I'm driving my kids to elementary school, man, I am so polite. I slow down. I let people in. Absolutely. So I think that sense of recognizing that we need to be accountable for our behavior and accountable for our actions. And the person that you're speeding by or stepping in front of might very well be the parent of one of your child's friends. Yeah, absolutely.
Someone you might have loved in a different circumstance.
Absolutely. So just being polite and respectful, I think, is going to be more and more important as we get more people out there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we are going to end up in a situation where the park staff decide that they need to close certain trails or close certain trails to certain user groups.
Ooh.
Exactly. Ooh. Or go to a permit system. Who knows?
Time out.
Absolutely. I think in the first step there will be increased enforcement. So
okay.
Situations right. Where the rangers are looking for speeding, they're looking for people who are off trail, either on foot or on bike.
Okay.
And when I say off trail, I mean riding or hiking on unauthorized trails. So trails that you might consider to be...
that rabbits might like, or...
Exactly.
Coyotes.
But they're not part of the authorized trail system. So okay, that kind of increased enforcement is something
that's
we're definitely going to be
seeing. It's not a field that you just go running around in. There are areas that are set up for traffic.
There is an authorized trail system that we're allowed to use.
Authorized.
Exactly. And the rest of the park is
and
for
maintained.
Wildlife.
And
they're maintained. We work on them. Laguna Canyon Foundation works on them. The park rangers work on them. So certainly staying on that authorized network of trails is really critical. And it's not the way that it was when you and I were kids. We used to be able to go outside
and frolic.
We frolicked. But you know what? When you have 22,000 acres of coastal canyon open space mm-hmm. in a county of, I think it's like almost 5 million people now, 4 million
people.
Yeah,
when you get the people, when you get those numbers, then it comes to rules.
Absolutely. The pressure on the land is just too much. So I think taking a little bit of personal responsibility, staying where you're supposed to stay, being extra polite to people on the trails, that's going to be the best way for us to be able to all use this land peacefully and cohabitate, so to speak. I think one of the things that people don't understand...
Coexistence and all.
Exactly. That's what we're trying to do. These parks, they're not recreation parks. They're wilderness parks. They were set aside
in some cases. It's not Disneyland. Right?
It's not Disneyland. No, I mean, it was set aside because of the value of this endangered habitat. So I think that's important for people to understand.
So first principles, get back to, you know, why we preserved it to begin with.
Why did we preserve it to begin with? Some of this land is mitigation land, which means that it was preserved in exchange for development elsewhere, which means that there's really strict rules and regulations on how that land can be used. And keeping that in mind, remembering that these are wilderness parks, they exist for habitat first and foremost, and our recreation is a secondary benefit. It's not the primary benefit. It's a good reminder.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. Today we're talking about the canyon and its preservation and use with Hallie Jones of the Laguna Canyon Foundation. On KX93.5, I keep forgetting to say that.
Be still and go on to bed. Nobody knows what lies ahead. Life is short, to say the least. We're in the belly of the beast. Be still, wild and young. Long shells on the shore. And may your limits be unknown. And may your efforts be your own. If you ever feel you can't take it anymore, don't break character. You've got a lot of heart. Is this real or just a dream? Rise up like the sun. Labor till the work is done. Be still, one day you'll leave. Fearlessness on your sleeve. When you come back, tell me, what did you see?
What did you see?
Was there something out there for me? Close your eyes. Soon enough you'll be on your own. Steady and straight. And if they drag you through the mud, it doesn't change what's in your blood.
Overchain.
Overchain.
Overplay.
When they knock you down.
Is this real or just
Okay, we don't really have our act together.
But we're having fun, Ernest.
Oh, well, there's that. All right. This is KX93.5, and this is the Importance of Being show. Yeah, okay, I think we've got our act back together. I think nothing's broken, and there's no tears yet. Okay, so this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. Today, I have as my guest Hallie Jones of the Laguna Canyon Foundation. We've been talking about canyony things, so we talked about the saving and preserving of the canyon and why we have this open space and wilderness interface. We talked a little bit about the fire and its impacts on the habitat. We've talked about being responsible and courteous and civil and following the rules because they're there to benefit the habitat. But there is one other thing going on in the canyon. And so I will let you take it away. How's that?
Absolutely.
I'll give you the lane.
Thank you. That's a perfect transition. So one of the things that Laguna Canyon Foundation has always been involved in, but certainly upping our game a little bit, so to speak,
okay,
is advocacy work. So we're a 501c3 nonprofit, which mm-hmm. means we don't do any political lobbying, right? We're not.
And that's good because this is not a political show. Like we really try to avoid these kinds of
Absolutely.
Discussions.
And Laguna Canyon Foundation has really always been focused on consensus building and finding solutions that are the best solutions possible for our environment. So one of the things that we're looking at now, as you and I were just chatting about, is a proposal that Caltrans has for Laguna Canyon Road right around the intersection of El Toro.
Right.
Now, this is a section of road that the county and the city has been working on finding solutions for quite a while. So I'm very sympathetic.
It has its challenges.
And I really support the city in particular's dedication to finding a solution that's going to benefit the community and protect our open space at the same time.
Right.
So I'm going to just try and give you the quick synopsis of the two components of the project that are first and foremost in my mind. Now, this is where you need to kick me under the table and tell me when I start talking too much, because I can talk about this stuff for hours, let me tell you.
We don't have quite that much time, but we have some time to fill.
Excellent. So one component of what Caltrans is proposing is on the outbound side of Laguna Canyon Road,
okay,
right after the El Toro intersection. So when you're going out the canyon, you're driving along in your one lane, you come up to El Toro, and the road comes into two lanes, right?
Right around Annalise and all that.
Exactly. Now you go through the El Toro intersection, still heading outbound, and pretty quickly the lane pinches back down to one lane and stays one lane for a little bit before expanding back into two lanes.
Yes.
So making that section of road consistently two lanes outbound, it is a good idea.
Okay.
And I believe strongly that the more space we have to get people out of town, the better off we're all going to be.
That's helpful.
Absolutely. So part of this project would be making that continuously two lanes and adding an 8-foot shoulder and bike lane, which I also think is a good idea in that area. I'm not a cyclist. I have friends who are cyclists, and certainly cycling along Laguna Canyon
That's
Road
a challenging
is scary.
Section.
And
yes.
That section is pretty tight. So part of that would also then include undergrounding of power poles in that section.
All right.
Now, Caltrans isn't going to pay for that. Let me be very clear about that. But the County of Orange will pay for the undergrounding of those power poles.
In that section.
In that section. I think that there are 19 in this project scope. So that's great. That's wonderful news.
Okay.
And we support that part of the project with one ask, which is that those power poles should be undergrounded under that 8-foot shoulder and bike lane.
Oh.
They should not require an additional take of open space to underground those power poles.
Yeah, because that pinch spot has some features that are
absolutely
impressive, I guess.
Absolutely. And our open space is precious. And I think that it's at risk of being nibbled to death by rabbits, to be quite frank. So I think every little bit that we give away, we need
to... They're not mean.
They're not mean. They're just nibbling away at the edges until all of a sudden it's all gone. So I think it's important for us to be very cautious when we are looking at a take of parkland.
Okay.
And I do think in this case, you know, the undergrounding of the power lines, the 8-foot shoulder and bike lane, and the extension of that outbound second lane, I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Now, if they can't underground under the shoulder bike lane, then I'm going to have a little bit of an issue with it because I don't want to see an additional 8 to 10 foot swath of DG or another hard surface that that doesn't allow for any habitat or any vegetation.
Okay, so that's the two outbound lanes.
Exactly, right at El Toro.
And the things that come along with that.
Exactly. Now, the part that concerns me a little bit more is the on the inbound side. So when you're driving into Laguna Canyon, into Laguna Beach, down Laguna Canyon Road.
Past the 73.
Past the 73. And you're coming up to El Toro. You're in one lane.
Yep.
You're coming up to El Toro. You have two lanes. Yeah, you get through the light and then immediately pinches back down.
Right.
Into
that
one
is
lane.
Not my favorite.
Right. That little merge section of road. And it does definitely, in that area, there are more accidents than should be given the amount of cars on the road. Caltrans data is very clear on that.
Right.
So addressing that pinch point, I think, is a good idea. I don't support what Caltrans has proposed as a solution. So I've been working very closely with the city. The city's been wonderful about really trying to make sure we're on the same page in terms of what the city's position is, what the environmental community's position is.
This is not something that the city is doing to us. This is something that we are working on together.
We are working with the city on this project and really with Caltrans as well to try and come up with a solution that's going to benefit everybody.
Okay.
So what's the solution to that area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what Caltrans' solution is. Caltrans' solution is to extend that merge lane an additional 900 feet down Laguna Canyon Road, so well past the Willow parking lot to the Wilderness Park. And that would require a pretty significant take of parkland. The original proposal tossed around was a retaining wall in that area.
Okay.
And we were very clear that that's not something we wanted to see in Laguna Canyon. And Caltrans, to their credit, agreed that they'd take that idea off the table and look at a contoured slope instead.
So they listen.
Absolutely. And I do believe that individually, people who are working for Caltrans are really trying their best to come up with a good project.
Right.
Obviously, Caltrans mandates for Laguna Canyon Road are very different than what I want to see for Laguna Canyon.
And this is one of those things where you have a finite resource.
Absolutely.
And we must be careful about the changes that we allow. Because things will change.
And things will change. Things do change. And change is a good thing. That's we don't want to stagnate and die. But we do want to change in the right way. So that contoured slope, as it's proposed right now, would require the take of 40 feet of parkland in that 900-foot section.
Okay.
So that's a pretty substantial take.
So 40 feet by 900 feet.
Exactly.
So that's almost an acre.
Math is hard, Ernest. Math is hard.
If you know the answer, call in.
So there actually was a public hearing, I think it was Wednesday this week, where Caltrans presented the project to the community. I heard from a lot of people that the format of that open house wasn't ideal in the sense that there wasn't an opportunity for public comment. Right. There wasn't an overall presentation on the project.
Right.
It was more different stations that you could wander around at your own leisure and learn about the project in detail.
Right.
So Laguna Canyon Foundation is going to put on this Thursday, July 5th. I know it's a rough day, but we're going to put on our own open house from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Suzy Q.
Okay.
And we're going to actually present our position on the project
and
provide an opportunity for people to ask questions of us as the environmental community and make their own statements. Now, the reason that we're doing that now is because all public comments on this project are due by July 10th. So Caltrans is required by law to review comments that are received before July 10th. After July 10th, they can certify that environmental document and they don't need to take public comment into account. So
I
it's really important that we get our voices out there before July 10th.
Right. Okay.
So I encourage everyone to come to that open house or not open house, definitely not an open house.
Presentation.
Come to that outreach meeting on July 5th and just learn a little bit more about the project. And of course, you need to make your own opinions, but I think it's important to present a really fair and balanced view of what this project is and the benefits to it. You know, the county in the city have been working on this area of road for a very long time. And we need to recognize that and recognize that there are concerns. And how can we fix the problem in the best way possible?
All right. So when is that again?
That would be Thursday, July 5th.
Right.
The day after 4th of July. July 5th, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Suzy Q.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming. It's always a pleasure having you. I always make mistakes because we're talking during the break, and then I'm like, oh, that's the second song. It's
that's
over.
It's all right. We get distracted. It's okay.
All right. Well, thanks again, Hallie, and keep up the good work. This is KX93.5. You've been listening to the Importance of Being show. We do this show live on Sunday mornings from 9 to 10, and I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. Happy Independence Day week, everyone. And I hope you guys have a great time and enjoy the fireworks and all of that and celebrate our wonderful country. And that is it for me. That's it. Stay tuned to KX93.5.